All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, June 17th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had 25 tennis matches get underway earlier today. Good luck to all of you playing some tennis. We have a big 12-game MLB main slate. We have a 6-game WNBA slate tonight. And then we have some hockey showdown as well with the Stanley Cup Finals. So we'll see if Florida close it out today. Should be an interesting one. I believe it's game 6 here. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. And we did have one question to get us started today. So we will start there. So the question was, can you please explain what this option in the drop-down menu at the top right does? So this was attached with a screenshot, but the option in question is this auto apply exposures. Okay, so we got to run a build to demonstrate how this works. So let's just kick off something real fast here. 500 lineups, nothing crazy. And we will answer this. So let's let these lineups run real quick. And looks like they're kicking off right now. All right, lineups are finishing up. Cool. So we're in the post build, right? So what this does, right, when it's turned off, which it is right now, I can set exposures, right? So let's say I want to drop Warren to 50%. I want to drop Pena to 50, right? Notice how they're not actually going through. They're there. They're present. But I have to click this apply button to get them to process, right? So the reason that we have this toggle is because if you are setting, if this is on, right? And let's turn auto apply on. Now, every time I set one, the builder is going to process it right away. So the builder has to think, and you can't do anything until it's done thinking, right? It, every single time it's going to process, and then it's going to like figure out if it can meet your request or not. Right. And here it did, but you lose kind of time. Like you know, if you set 10 exposures, you might end up wasting 30 seconds because every single time it, you know, you set one, it's like 1001, 1002, 1003, before, you know, it like finally processes and like goes through. So we recommend keeping this off, setting all of the exposures that you want and then applying them all at once. So the builder only has to think one time. So that's effectively why it's even an option. We recommend keeping it off and then clicking apply as needed. But that is auto apply exposures explained, I guess, is how I would put it. All right. Good clarification question to get us started today. Let me just take a quick peek here. I'll get an office hour. So why don't we roll into a build demo here? You know, we've already kind of started with this starter demo for MLB for today, right? 500 lineups, default min salary is 49K, no filters. I would have put on the don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. It's probably fine for the sake of the demo. And then, you know, we run the build, right? We get into the post build. We're sorting by Saber score. Make sure you're choosing the right Saber score for whatever one matches the primary contest that you're optimizing for here, right? Maybe you're playing a big contest. Okay, I'm going to move to the 50K plus option, right? lineups change, exposures change, all that good stuff. I'm going to actually undo these exposures that we did. That way I could just start from baseline. Cool. So for MLB, not going to need an average salary aggregate metric. That was more for MLB Showdown demo that we did yesterday. So this is basically how I want to set things up. Something I've been talking about a lot with customers is making sure you're keeping your exposure and leverage columns together. You can even keep your ownership next to it if you want, right? That way you can just understand, right? Leverage is exposure minus ownership. It is how much over or how much under the field you are on every player in your pool. Now for baseball, high variance sport, especially for say that again. We want to have generally a little less leverage on the batters and a little bit more leverage on the pitchers is okay, right? This is kind of in line with like the pool exposures, right? Top batter pool exposure is 24%. And then top pitcher, oh, interesting, only 27% here. Kind of surprised there. At least three players over 25. And then for the batters, only one person above 20, right? So a little bit of a difference there, right? We have a 25, 26, 27 for pitchers. We have 124, and then it drops from 18 to 15 kind of fast here. And they're all on Houston. Houston is a, you know, going to be a popular team today with a high, it looks like the highest run total on the slate. Very close to the Yankees here. But that's in a nutshell, kind of general DFS strategy, especially based on the range of outcomes here, right? Altuve is getting 0 points 27% of the time in our sims. His range of outcomes looks way different if we go pull up, you know, highest exposed pitcher here, which is Will Warren. See if we can get his graph to populate. Come on, don't fail me now. Let's try one more. It would probably load if I did a hard refresh, so why don't we just try that? That way we can close the loop on this one. Another useful thing to look at here, right, would actually be the player's adjusted ownerships. We don't talk about adjusted ownership that much or that often, but it is kind of important, right, and especially matters for baseball, right? Matters like for hockey, matters for baseball, kind of the most here. So when this loads back up, I'll talk about it. Okay, hold on. I want to see if this comes up now. Okay, cool. Yeah, so Robbie Ray, nice big curve, looks way different than, you know, Altuve's does, right? So this is why pitchers are a little bit more consistent in the sims. Usually higher pull exposure, higher leverages are okay for the pitchers, right? But another thing we don't talk about too much is this adjusted ownership column, okay? When we go and we look at the top projected, we'll just do top projected pitchers, right? So their adjusted ownerships are, you know, maybe like a couple points high or low, you know, 2 to 3 points here for like Brian Wu, Robbie Ray. So adjusted ownership, what it's doing is it's looking at that range of outcomes that we just pulled up. And then it's looking at the player's ownership and basically saying, hey, do we think this guy deserves this ownership? And if the adjusted is higher, then that's a little bad. They were saying, hey, we think this guy's a little bit too high owned, okay? And then when it's like even, we think like, hey, this is like a good play. And then if you ever find a situation where sometimes, I've seen this in golf specifically, where golfers might have a high ownership, but their adjusted ownership is even lower than their high ownership, then that means they're like a really good play, like in our sims. So this gets taken into account in the Saber score formulas, why it's important to pick the right Saber score, because each Saber score has a different weight, right? We see that adjusted ownership variable here. The bigger the contest, generally the higher the negative weight on adjusted ownership, right? So basically, high adjusted ownership number is bad. Well, we're putting a negative weight on it because the bigger this is, the more we kind of want to fade lineups with those players, right? Or fade lineups with high adjusted ownerships. So that's how that works. If we go and look at batters, The spreads get like a little bit bigger, right? We see like 5% difference for Otani. We see a 9% difference for Giancarlo, right? If even if we look at Jose Altuve, right? 11% difference here. So based on the range of outcomes, we're saying, hey, you know, should this guy be this high owned? And SaberSim is saying, you know, the higher this ownership goes, kind of the riskier this play gets, right? You can actually play with this and you can figure this out and basically say, hey, what ownership does Altuve become like a good play at, right? And when you change the ownership number, that changes, it's an input to adjusted ownership. And it's like, okay, well, you know, Altuve's difference was 11 points between ownership and adjusted at 24%. But if I lower him to 15% owned here, the difference now becomes like closer to like 4 points, right? He's becoming a better play at this ownership. So it's kind of interesting to just like be aware of these things. This isn't something you like have to do, right? SaberSim is already doing this for you, but it's cool to like talk about and kind of get a sense for like what's going on behind the scenes, what's going into your Saber scores, how we're using the range of outcomes from the play-by-play sim. So it might be a little bit of me showing stuff off that I think is cool, but I hope others find it interesting as well here. John said, here a few minutes late. Thank you for answering my question. No problem. All right. So we were doing this demo here, and let's get back to it. We were keeping the ownership exposure leverage together. We noticed that we had some high batter leverages, and we wanted to do something about it, right? Okay, so then we're going to start adjusting the min uniques here. We're going to note our average projection, note some of these leverages, right? We want to bring these like high 20s down a little bit. Our average projection of 101 is like where we start. I generally jump to like 5 here. We go from like 101, I think like 0.2 to 99.7. So we've dropped like a 1.5 projection right away. Still some high exposures here. We haven't gone too far down in our pool, right? Lineup 36. So I'm going to go a little bit further with the uniques. Try a 6 number here. Okay, so now we're getting closer to like dropping 3 points projection. But this is kind of the effect that we wanted. One, we're at lineup 61, right? So we're still very close to the top 10% of our pool. Our top exposures finally came down from 45% down to like 30%, right? Notice these leverages. We do have one single 20% plus leverage on Byron Buxton, leadoff hitter, Minnesota. Might not be the worst one, but a lot of our other leverages have been tamed, right? So like at one unique, we had, let's see, we'll count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 leverages over 23%, actually over 23%. And then at 6 uniques, we have one leverage of 25% and then nobody above 18%, right? So we're still getting leverage on players. We're still taking stands. We're just taking smaller stands. And, you know, this is probably a good thing for players who are very high variance, right? We've seen the adjusted ownership. We've seen the range of outcomes, right? So getting these batter exposures to a lower leverage can be good. And then we're still taking some stands at pitcher with Robbie Ray, little one on Will Warren, and then some smaller ones here. But all in all, I think this looks a lot better risk-wise. I think that we haven't gone too far down in our pool. We sacrificed a little bit of projection to get here. Yeah, you know, that kind of happens when you get away from the plays that SaberSim is like kind of jamming in. So you can expect to, you know, sacrifice some projection. You can expect to sacrifice some ROI. But for me, it feels like it was worth it in this case, and this should help to smooth out our results when it's all said and done. So if I were building lineups on starter today for MLB, this is where I would be going. All right. Good stuff there. Got a question from Demetrius. Can you do a FanDuel demo for MLB? Sure. You know, let's do a ultimate demo for FanDuel MLB. So MLB strategy, you know, really isn't going to differ between the two. The only things that like really change are like what the sites allow, right? So like FanDuel doesn't allow 5 stacks. You know, you can only play 4 stacks. FanDuel lineup has 9 players instead of 10 on DraftKings, right? FanDuel has different positions, you know? So like all of those things, the scoring format, you know, I think that, a steal is worth like 6 points on FanDuel. And I think a steal is worth like 5 points on DK. I think a walk is worth like 2 points on DK. A walk is worth 3 points on FanDuel. It's like some of those like scoring things, you know, kind of come into play here. But I really wouldn't be doing that much different, right? So not changing my minimax salary here, turning on this rule. You don't have to make two adjustments to projections on FanDuel. That is only a DraftKings community guideline. So you'll notice that the FanDuel build lineups button is always green, right? So that's one thing to be aware of there. But upfront, not doing anything different. I think FanDuel, right, they combine catcher and first base. So you can play one of these positions or one player with positional eligibility here. You don't have to play a catcher and a first baseman separately. You also have a utility position, right? So lineups will just look a little bit different. And then, you know, there's also like differences in salary, different combinations might make more sense. So those are like the biggest, you know, kind of differences between the two sites. But the strategy that we really like drive home and kind of recommend is, you know, site like agnostic. We built it so you can use it across all sites and you don't have to like have one set of strategy for FanDuel and then like one set of strategy for like DK, right? Your principles that we go over in like the videos and, you know, Saber School, right? And how to beat DFS, you know, you go to MLB and, you know, you watch like our videos here. They're meant to be like for both sites, right? So like that process that Jordan shows is meant to be used across both. All right. So getting back to our build for FanDuel, our contest sim, I thought it was running. Okay. So our contest sim auto ran here, which is great. I'm still going to sort by projection or by exposure. Sorry. Still going to sort by exposure. I'm still going to keep my ownership and my leverage together. I'm sorting by ROI. Let's say I'm building 150 lineups in this case, right? Maybe I'm playing like the piggy bank or something like that. Cool. So I have my average projection. I would add an average ROI one here. All right, cool. So I got all these things. So usually the builder's a little bit better at getting a little bit more spread out when you have more lineups. So we see like some lower leverages here out of the gate. I think it's because we're looking at 150 here and our pool is like well diversified. So I would start a little bit more like macro. So like looking at our stacks, you know, four stack and most of our lineups here seems fine. Stack exposures, get into a lot of Houston, get into a lot of Minnesota, and then it kind of drops off, right? So like these are like the two big stands that we're seeing. Okay, we go to batters. So interesting to me, I think that this is actually kind of really interesting. We have 42% Houston, but no Houston batter in more than 26% of our lineups. I actually think that's really cool because that means that, you know, we're not just jamming, you know, 1, 2, 3 Houston. It seems like we're using a lot of different players from their lineup. We can also check this, right? We can filter for Houston in the table. And then we can sort by order. And then we can see here, okay, look, we're using, you know, a lot of like 1 through 8. We're getting to only a little bit of the 9 hitter here. Maybe we don't need him. We're a little low on Christian Walker, closer to his ownership, but maybe we just, you know, don't like him for whatever rhyme or reason. I'm going to probably trust the builder here and just like not adjust because I don't think anybody else is like too out of whack. If I saw like, oh, Altuve is like 42% and we have this like huge difference in exposures, like top to bottom, I would consider like capping him maybe, but we have, you know, 3 different players at 26% tied seems okay. So this is just a way of like double checking the distribution of your exposures across a team for your like high owned teams, right? I could do the same thing for Minnesota because Buxton's our like highest exposed batter at 30%. Okay. Then I go and like check out Minnesota, sort by order. and getting a lot of like the top, almost like only one lineup with their seven hitter who has like really low ownership, getting a ton of their eight hitter, and then getting a lot of like the top of the lineup. You know, this is like another interesting one. Maybe I would do something like to boost, you know, Varnish a little bit, where it's like, hey, I don't want to be so under on like this one piece. Maybe I get to like 5% of him, right? Okay. Then I apply that and I see what impact it has like on the team. And it seems like fine, right? This looks a little bit better. At least he's like a little bit closer to like France and Willie Castro and Jonah Bride. So I have exposure to this team. And then I'm a little bit more spread out across the lineup, right? And Buxton didn't go up that much. He went up to 31%, and he was at 30. So it's not like he jumped or anything like that. So this feels like a little bit better. This could be a good way of managing your exposures. In my opinion, I just check like my highest team stacks, right? Like, okay, I'm obviously very high on Houston, Minnesota. You know, those are the ones that like I want to check. All right. So then I come back here. Aside from that, I'm like kind of okay with my batter exposures. You know, I could use mini uniques, of course, right? Maybe mini uniques would have helped me to, you know, get to some of these players a little bit more naturally, right? So maybe I didn't need the minimum exposure, right? Maybe I just needed to diversify. And if I come in here, I'll usually just jump to like about half. So there's nine players. So I'm just going to like jump to four and just like noting my projection ROI. 119, 144. So four uniques. What does this do? This keeps my projection the same, and I drop like 8% ROI. Top batter exposures come down slightly. Okay, well, like what does five look like? Even at five, right, I barely sacrificed any projection, a little ROI. And then when I go back to Minnesota and like do that example that I did before, you know, still like only a little Larnish. He's kind of closer to Jonah Bride now, but the whole team has kind of flattened out, right? So I can decide what I want to do from there. But all in all, I'll probably leave it here. So I'm pretty happy with my batters. Pitchers look fine. I'm usually okay taking like some bigger stands here. Team stacks are down. Still playing primarily four stacks, right? Top four exposures, all four stacks. So, you know, I've spread out my risk. I've managed it, you know, in a way that I think is good. A lot of these same principles are the same things that I did on DK. So you don't have to think that, you know, FanDuel is like something completely different, but it can be nice to see a demo from time to time here. All right. Let me go back to office hours. Looks like we're caught up there. So caught up in office hours, caught up in the YouTube chat, knocked out two slate demos, one starter, one ultimate. One question here from M78. How do you approach potentially fading games due to potential rain delays or PPDs? For example, today there are several games that have some weather risk. Good, great question. And we have a really cool tool for this. So if you go to games, I think it's games, we have this column, postpone chance. Okay. If you think a game has a certain risk, you can put in the amount of time you think the game is going to get postponed. And, you know, maybe I think that the game gets postponed, you know, maybe I'm going by projected runs. I think it's the Mets have a postponed chance here. Mets Atlanta. Right here. Maybe I think the game gets postponed, you know, 30% of the time. Or something like that, right? This is an ultimate feature, just to be clear. It doesn't get taken into account in the lineup building process, but it does get taken into account in the contest sim. So 30% of the time in the contest sim, this game will not play. This game will get postponed. And then that like effectively lowers your exposure to that game. So if I'm ever in a situation like that, I will use that. Outside of that, you know, let's just say there's like a delay risk. Right. Okay. Well, like, what if this game is going to get delayed? You could do a couple things. You know, maybe you come in here and you look at their pitchers and you just set a max exposure that is similar to their ownership. where like, hey, you know, I want to set a max exposure to Schwellenbach and Peterson, and I don't want to full fade these guys, but I do. I don't want to lose because of them, right? I don't want to lose because they get in a delay. So what I would do is just match my exposure to their ownership and basically say, I'm going to be neutral on these guys, right? Being neutral and, or let me say this, matching your exposure to their ownership is the most neutral thing you can do. If you go under the field, if you X them out, if you go over the field, you're taking a stand in either direction, right? If you're just not sure what to do in this situation, it's okay to match exposure to ownership to situations you're unsure about and get leverage in other spots on the slate. Look, it's a big 12 game slate. You know, you don't have to, you know, this isn't a, you don't have to make this a make or break situation. You can't control whether it rains or not. You don't know the person who is calling the shots on whether the game gets delayed or not, you know, in the third inning, in the fourth inning, do they stretch it? Do they call it early? Right. Like all those things are variables that you like, you can't account for. It's okay to match here and just get leverage elsewhere. Right. So that's primarily how like I would be handling a delay. You could also mess around with the postpone chance in the contest sim. That's like another option, but yeah, but always remember that matching exposure to ownership, most neutral thing you can do. All right, let me circle back to office hours one more time. Still caught up there. Cool. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.